My goodness. Thank you, Tim. You know, what's kind of disappointing is seeing all the beautiful foods that are up there. And from America, we have Coca-Cola. Here you go. We got gumbo, too? Okay. Steak's an American thing. You know, it's interesting about America, because we're such a melting pot of different cultures, it's kind of hard to identify what exactly is our one cultural thing. McDonald's. Wow, we're batting 1,000 right now. Soda and McDonald's. Well, good morning. Like I said, this has been a very interesting week. We have been riding an emotional roller coaster. Things are just flying by. Today, for me, is an exciting day. Not for the reasons all of you know, but 3 years ago today, my second son was born. Seth Ryan Patterson is an amazingly bright little boy. If you've met him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I'm sure you will at some point. That kid is a born leader, and you'll get to know who he is. He's such a wonderful guy. He's a joy to our family, and he's enriched our lives in so many ways, and I'm excited to see what God has for him in his future. So he's downstairs learning from our wonderful teachers downstairs, being a kid, and he's growing up so fast. He's turning 3 today, but really it's about 15 or 16, I think. I don't know. He's incredibly articulate. Have a conversation with him sometime. It'll be interesting. Well, I'm going to talk with you today about the need for vision. I come from the state of California, not the town of California, but actually the state of California. I was born in the Bay Area. And how many have been to the Bay Area in California? Raise your hands. Quite a few of you. How many have actually experienced the fog of the Bay Area in California, right? It is amazing. Another part of California, actually, out in the valley, has what they call tule fog. Has anybody experienced tule fog before? Tule fog is like fog as thick as stew, right? It is super, super thick fog. And I grew up in fog. I was born in Oakland, California. And so fog is just part of our life. And when it's foggy, you can't see very well, right? You don't have much vision. They talk about the visibility level. It's, you know, oh, it's half a mile out today, or it's a quarter mile, or it's 200 feet. Years and years ago, Katie and I were driving down through the valley in California, and we were going up over the Tehachapi Mountains out towards Mojave, coming through Bakersfield. You know exactly what this is, right, Catherine? So just so you know, the geography goes, you got this big bowl that comes down into the south part there in Bakersfield, and you get these gigantic mountains that rise up right out of the ground. We call them the Tehachapis. It's part of the Sierra Nevada range there. And just on the other side of that is desert. So you get this incredible weather pattern that goes right through the Tehachapis there. Well, Katie and I went down through Bakersfield, and we were driving out into the mountains, and all of a sudden we see these cars going past us, the police cars with their lights on, and they're just flying past us. I'm thinking, wow, that was crazy. I wonder what's going on up there. Now, we had taken, well, probably like 20 or 30 minutes sidetrack detour through Bakersfield, because Katie had actually spent some time there as a kid, so we drove past her old house and whatnot, and we got back on the road, and we started going. Well, when we get up into the mountains here, the fog just gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker, to the point where, Molly, I wouldn't be able to see you if you're standing there and I'm driving right now, right? It's so, so thick. Everybody slows down, and you're just looking for head or taillights as you're going along, and you can't see the side of the road. All of a sudden, everything kind of grinds to a halt, and then we're just kind of creeping along, and you just can't see anything. There's just no visibility. You're watching the taillights in front of you, and you're just hoping, dear God, are we still staying on the road, right? And all of a sudden, a police officer emerges out of the fog as we're creeping along. Oh, that's crazy, right? And he diverts everybody off to the side. And we roll down the window and say, what's going on? He says, there's a big giant accident up ahead here. Somebody, you know, slammed into somebody else, and it's just car after car after car piling into each other just because you could not see where you're going. And so we got on this frontage road, and we're going around it, and sure enough, you could see just a line of cars all just piled up. And we got to Tucson later on that week, and that actually had made the news all the way down in Tucson for that accident. And we were so thankful that the Lord had had us take that detour we had taken. Otherwise, we'd have been right in the middle of that whole thing. So the point of this is, it's important that we have vision, that we have visibility, that we can see where we're going, that we can see around us, know our surroundings. Because when we don't have that visibility, we don't have that vision, everything comes in close and we have no idea what's going to come next. Right? There's a scripture for this. It's Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. Or in the NIV it says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. When you cast off your restraint, you're going to meet destruction. You got to know where the boundaries are. There's lines on the sides of the roads for a reason. So you can operate with freedom inside those boundaries. You go outside of those boundaries, you're going to crash. You're going to have an accident. There might be other people coming behind you that also don't have vision, and they're going to crash into you. And there's a whole slew of things that happen from that. So why am I talking about vision? As a church, we need to have vision for where we're going. We've got a long history in this church here, but where are we going off in the future now? Some of us have been wondering that. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about that, so I'm going to share some of those thoughts with you today. But I'd like to start by going through the parable of the talents from Matthew 25. So this is in Matthew 25, verse 14. Now, some context for this parable. Jesus has been asked by his disciples. They say, tell us, this is back in chapter 24, the very beginning, tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So that's the context for this parable. All right? And this parable actually is kind of in a series of parables where Jesus is telling them about what the kingdom's going to be like. He's talked to them about the 10 virgins. He's telling them about this. He's going to go on and he's going to talk to them further about, you know, whether they went and visited people in the prisons and gave people something to eat, and as much as you did to these or didn't do to these is what you did to me. So this is kind of nestled in the midst of all of that. So I'm going to read this for you, and I'm going to point some things out along the way. He says to them, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted, this is from the NASB, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. I'm going to pause here for just a second. In this parable, the Lord is drawing a parallel to the gifts that he's given to us. We're each apportioned a gift. We've done a lot of work building on that, but God has put something inside each one of us that he has invested into us. And this is what he's talking about here. He's given them something. Now, there's the line there that says, each according to his own ability. God gives you something that is particular for you, and that measure is particular for you. It's extremely individual, and that's going to play out here in a really neat way. All right, moving on. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." 2 identical statements, right? Then everything changes. Here comes the third slave. Also, the one who had received, and the one who also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not, where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have at least received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But to the..." We good? Okay. "But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want to focus on a couple of things here. The first 2 slaves in here are given different amounts, right? 5 and 2. But what they return to their master is also 5 and 2. Right? The first guy says, "You gave me 5. I made 5 more. I'm giving it back to you. All of it. You got the 10. Right? The other one says, "You gave me 2. I made 2 more. And here's all 4 back to you." Right? The final one says, "You gave me 1. And I didn't do anything with it. But here you go. It's safe. It's safe." If you're investing and you put 5 of anything, say $5,000 into an investment, and you got $5,000 back out of that thing, would you call that a good investment? Right? 100% increase on your investment? That's a fantastic investment. That's a fully matured investment. That's unheard of. If you put $2,000 into something, you got $2,000 back, would that have been a good investment? Yes. Now, if you put $1 million into something and you only got your $1 million back, was that a wise investment? No, your $1 million didn't. It could be $1 billion. If you got that back, just $1 billion, you made nothing on that thing. That is a poor investment. It isn't the amount that he puts into you that matters, because each one was apportioned according to themselves. He knew what each one was able to handle. He knew the growth potential in each one of them, and he fed into that. The first 2 were faithful, and the 3rd was not. The 3rd was afraid. He sat on what he had been given, and he didn't return anything back beyond that. See, when God gives you your gifts, your spiritual gifts, your natural abilities, all of those things, it's to steward. It's not just to sit on and use. It's to steward, because they're not for you. You don't actually own the gifts that he gives you. When you pass away and you return to him, all that goes back. You read in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, prophecy, tongues, all these things, they're going to go away. But what's left is love, right? So these gifts that you've been given are for here and now, but they're going to go back to the Father who owns them in the first place. And he didn't just give them to you so that you could hold on to them. He gave them to you so you could sow those things, so you could cultivate them, so you could grow in those things and mature them. Because in that process, you bring glory to him. He wants, when we come back to him, that we have actually stewarded what we've been given. We've actually grown those things. He wants to see an increase. We don't want to come to the end of the day and say, "Lord, you gave me this phenomenal ability to design things, right? I have all this great ability to understand how things work and how to build things, but I didn't do anything with it. I didn't build a single thing. In fact, I didn't even advance the giftings that I had. Nowhere along the way did I try to get any better at what I had. Or I got comfortable and I sat on what I had and I didn't allow myself any space to grow. We don't want to come to the end of that. We want to come to the end and say, Lord, you gave me these gifts and I have invested in them. I've put time and effort into them. I've sought your insight, your wisdom. I've been growing these things and cultivating them, and I'm passing them off to other people. I'm teaching other people how to come into this stuff. It's a passion of mine. You put it in me, and I've sown into it. And others have seen it in me, and they've also sown into me. Remember, it says there, he traded for those things, right? There's an activity that's involved in it. Why am I talking about this? Because part of what happens here at our Father's house is the development of you as a believer, as an individual follower of Christ. We're in the spiritual formation business here. People come in, you're broken, you're hurting, you need Jesus. And Jesus comes and he heals you in this place. He stands you up. He affirms you. And he gives you relationships that carry you forward into the destiny and the calling that he has for each of you. That activity has been going on here for decades. Has that happened to anybody else here? Because it's happened to me. A long time ago, the Lord said, this place is a hospital. It's a field hospital. People come in here from all over the world, and they get healing here for various things. You can talk physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological. God has done incredible things here. And that's part of the DNA that we have in this house. Relationships are formed here that last lifetimes. But people come in here and God stands them up and they move oftentimes beyond here. Get fixed up, get stood up, and get sent to various corners of the world. There's people that have come through these doors that are serving all over the place. So forming people spiritually is what we do because it brings glory to the Father. When you stand up in your gifting and your calling, it puts the Father on display. His love comes out of you in a way that can only come out of you. This aspect of stewardship, though, is not just an individual thing. It's not just about you, right? There's a corporiety to the body of Christ. You're an aspect of the body. You're a part of the body. We collectively are a part of a body. But God has given us something important to steward here. You know, Lanny is planning to retire in the next few years. And many of you have been on a journey with him of a lifetime, right? And you've grown with him, and you've built something here. And there's another generation that's coming up now who's going to help carry this thing forward into the future. Collectively, we have something to steward here that is very important. It's very significant, and it requires us to be intentional about doing that. So what are some of the things that typify this place? I've already identified the formation, maturation process. The Lord's used this as a hospital for a long time. But something that is extremely particular about this place and these people here, you people, is that we have been a people who have sought to honor the Holy Spirit. We've sought to create an atmosphere that welcomes him. We have people who come in off the highway because they recognize something's different here because they feel it. They walk through the door and God begins ministering to them because this is a place where the Holy Spirit hangs out because we've honored him here. We spent our lives honoring him here. We've also been a place that has pressed in into revelation, in healing, in worship. This place has been known as a house of worship. It used to be said, you want to go worship somewhere? Go down to Prague, right? Go down to Prague because they do worship there, right? It's a place where the heart of worship is authentic. We seek after the Lord here. We seek to honor him here. One of the other things is we are a practical place. There's a lot of deep spiritual wisdom and knowledge that's coming through through Lanny, through other speakers who have come here. But God does a great job of making it practical for people here. We're not a place that's bound up by a religious spirit. You've got to live. We've got to live. Lanny's told me several times, when you're going to package a message, you got to put a handle on it so people can pick it up and carry it with them. Right? You got to put it on the bottom shelf so people can take that thing and walk with it. If we just talk over people's heads, then we've done nothing. We've made no impact. But if you can walk away from here and say, wow, this really impacts my life, and I can see how that actually should change what I'm doing, and here's some practical steps I can do that, and wow, I actually have vision for that, and God's speaking to me in the midst of it, you'll see your life begin to be transformed. The gospel of the kingdom. We've been preaching the gospel of the kingdom here and experiencing the gospel of the kingdom in a real way for a long time. And we keep uncovering new things. And God has been just expanding that for us. Lanny's been traveling the globe preaching about things that we've been experiencing here as a congregation, as a family. So where are we going? We're going to take 180 degrees step. I'm just kidding. We're not doing anything. I'm just joking. That would be foolish, I believe. I'm here to tell you that as Lanny's spiritual son, I am not Lanny Clark. Yes. He's about this tall. We both wear glasses. He's got more hair than me, though. Just saying, but mine's getting more gray. I'm not Lanny Clark. I can't carry what Lanny Clark carried. And by the way, this generation that's coming behind those that have been here with Lanny are not you. They're not designed to carry what you've carried. But we're designed to carry what we need to in our generation, what God designed us to in our generation. Now, there is a strong, rich spiritual DNA in this house. And just like in any good family, you'll see those traits that were in the earlier generations reemerge in the new generation. But it's going to feel different, right? Now, as an illustration, when the Mondays are up here leading worship, yay! When the Mondays are up here leading worship, they have their kids up there with them, right? The Mondays represent a family who has pressed into worship for decades in this house, grown up here in a worshipful atmosphere, and they carry with them a DNA of worship in this house. How many of you know that Bethany Monday does not sing the same way as Beth Monday does? Right? Can we all agree to that? They both are talented and skilled, and they have put time developing that talent, and they bring that forward. Each Sunday, they stand up here and help us enter into the presence of the Lord. But the two are not the same thing. The expression through their daughter is a new generation. It's a new iteration of that thing. And that is the type of thing we're looking at with our Father's house. What we should see should be the new metamorphosis of that DNA. It's going to express itself in different ways. There's going to be some new things that we hadn't seen before, but it should be, hey, you know, that's a lot like the old thing, but it's somehow different and new, and I can connect with this in a new way. So, because we are a place that is about maturing people and bringing those things forward, we're going to take stock of a lot of the things that we have been doing for decades here. And a lot of times, what I've noticed, and some of you also may have noticed, that when people develop here, it's not because we have some really great track and plan to bring people through. You know, it's not because we have some great discipleship structure here. A lot of what happens here is in relationships. It happens in relationships. It happens almost in an ad hoc manner. Oh, you're gifted that way? You need to go talk to that person over there. They're really good. Or we're just sitting out here eating cookies after the end of service, and all of a sudden we realize that we really like each other, and we really have a good, something's different. And so we start playing into that, and God does something in the midst of that relationship. I mean, I've received a lot of formation personally through those types of processes, and I know many of you have. It's the relationships that we have that carry us through those times. But first and foremost, our primary responsibility here is to continue to press in and seek the Lord, honoring the Holy Spirit and building that atmosphere of welcoming him here into our presence. That is our first and foremost responsibility. If we do not have unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, then we're missing the point. Anything that we do is going to get broken before it's started. So we're going to be pressing in. We're not going to just be maintaining what God has given us. We are going to be intentional as a body about pressing into the Lord and saying, Lord, we want your Holy Spirit here with us. We need your power. We need your presence. We need your revelation. We need your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding because we don't have it and we need it. There will be conflicts that we have. What is most important? That relationship, that unity in the Spirit breaks down the conflicts. That bond of peace brings the teeth out of whatever it is that the enemy is going to bring forward because God wants us connected. You know, when Jesus climbed on the cross, he made a way both for the Jew and the Gentile to come into relationship with his Father, right? He made unity in one man. He made peace in himself. For all of us. And we have to honor that always. Always, always, always. So that is our primary responsibility, is to continue to press in and cultivate that atmosphere of welcoming the Holy Spirit. Beyond that, our goal is to help people discover, grow, and mature in their identities as heirs to the Father. And identify their destiny as representatives of him. This is a grace-filled community. A grace-filled community allows people to fail. Have any of you ever failed? Have any of you ever failed here? I'll put up both hands there. Got a foot too? Okay. It's okay to fail. This is a place of grace. You've heard Lanny say it, and you'll hear me say it. Offer grace to the person today because you may need it tomorrow, right? We offer people grace because we need grace ourselves. Jesus gives us all grace. We honor that, okay? What happens in a grace-filled community, when you fail and people don't explode because of it, but instead walk you through the process of standing you back up, helping you to repatch that area or bring healing into that area. Sometimes God's exposing something that's deep that he needs to fix so he can stand you up. And we understand things from that context that you're not perfect, that you're going to fail. But we're here to move forward because we're invested in you because the relationship is what matters. God's going to do something. He's going to keep doing things. We're a family. This place has been a family atmosphere. There's a lot of kids that have grown up here. There's a lot of marriages that have started here. We are a family, not just naturally, but supernaturally. We are a family of God. But there's some very particular aspects of being a family that we are going to be intentional about moving forward. We are intergenerational, now more so than ever. The generation that has come up with Lanny started off somewhere around my age right now, right? Not a lot of oldsters around at that point in time, right? You were the oldsters at 30 and 40 years old. We are the elders of this place. And it feels great. We're so wise at 30. Those 20-year-olds, they think they know everything. And for some reason, those 70-year-olds think they know something too. All right? Now more so than ever, we have an intergenerational family here. We're going to honor that. We're going to be intentional about those relationships because there are things about those of you that are now elders, right, that you have to offer those of us that are that wise 30 to 40-year-old generation that we need, that you didn't have when you were there, right? Just like Lanny is a spiritual father who did not have a spiritual father when he was coming up through that age, he's been kind of a breaker in that, right? He said, okay, God, what is this? What do I need to be? Who do I need to be to model for those following me what a spiritual father is? Those of you that are in that same generation, you now represent a cadre here within the house that has a place theologically and practically in presenting and drawing forward people into maturity, right? You didn't have that, many of you, growing up, but you now represent that. And the grace that has been on Lanny to do what he's done, there's going to be grace for you too in your generation here. Now, what happens when you start stepping into those roles and you start actually taking advantage of your seniority, your real seniority, you set up a model for those of us coming behind you of what we can step into when we get there. Does that make sense? Right? There's a real responsibility for you guys. Those of us that are younger, we need to be listening to those that have gone before. They know a thing or two about what you're doing. They've raised a bunch of kids before. Some of you are their kids they've raised, right? I see a hand back there of a kid who's been raised here. It's important for us to think intergenerationally because there's strengths in those relationships. We all get a lot wiser when we listen to one another and when we understand one another. Beyond just intergenerationally, though, we have a multiracial church. It's increasingly becoming multiracial. But we're not going to stop there. I'm so thankful to the Lord that He is blending what we see just looking around us here. Because heaven is all people, right? All people. That's our family. And we should see that represented here around us. But we're not stopping at multiracial. Multiracial just means the person sitting around you looks different than you, and they come from a different background, right? That's multiracial. And we can be very comfortable sitting next to people that look different than us. God doesn't want to stop there. He wants us to be a multicultural place. There's a difference between multiracial and multicultural. Multiracial is just what I explained to you. Hey, how's it going? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You're different than me. Right? Multicultural says, because we have relationship with one another, and you have a different background than me, I care about you, I want to know who you are, and because it's important to you, it's important to me too. Right? I don't know all the different holidays and different cultural tendencies of everybody that's in this room, but I want to know. I want to know because I care about you. I want you to know that about one another because you care about one another. And we should see those expressions coming forward in how we do what we do. So this place is going to look different because of who God is bringing in here. We don't have to plan to, okay, we're going to do this because we have this many people here and we can do this because we have this many people here. We're not talking about that, right? That is a very structured way of doing multiculturalism. That's not what we're about. Because we are in relationship with people, you will find things that are important to them, and we just draw it out from one another. And we enter into those expressions together, right? We let what God's bringing forward to emerge, and then we live in it and inhabit it together. We're going to be multicultural. Not that that has not happened, but we're going to be intentional about doing those types of things, okay? So expect that. We're going to be a place that continues in healing and revelation and pressing in there. There's more that God has for those expressions than what we've experienced so far. And he wants to draw that out because there's different things that are needed in this new generation. So God is going to take what he's already invested here and in the people that are coming in, and he's going to grow up a new group of leaders that are pressing into that, and we're going to experience healing and revelation in a new way. One of the things, and I'm going to say it here today, publicly, Lanny was talking somewhere in the past couple years about the history that we've had in healing here. And he said, God said that this place is going to be a hospital, and we started seeing healings taking place here. You know, legs and sniffles and whatever. God started doing something where we started seeing physical healings taking place here, and we pressed into it. We started seeing emotional healings taking place here. Spiritual healings, psychological healings. Mary, you and your team have been pressing into the Lord to do some deep inner healing, and God has been blessing that. How many of you have gone through TPM at this point in time? How many of you have gone through a Prayers to Heal the Heart session? How many of you have experienced God doing something in your body or doing something in your spirit that you can't just explain away? It's God doing those things. His grace has been here for that. When Lanny was talking about this, he was saying, this happened and this happened and this happened. And he kept going. He started moving on to something else. And the Lord was saying to me, and I'm going to heal people groups here. And I'm going to do these types of things here. God is going to keep ratcheting that thing up. We're going to see healing between cultures here. Where there's been fissures between people, God is going to be bringing them together and bring healing there. That is something only he can do, and we all know that is something that is needed right now in our world. In our nation, we are divided. Oftentimes on racial or socioeconomic lines, there's all sorts of fissures there, but God intends to bring healing to that. And some of that is going to happen here, okay? Are we set up for that yet? No, we are not set up for that yet. But that is part of where we are going, and we're going to be intentional about those things, okay? I'm excited about that. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. If this is going to be a place where the Lord brings cultures together, then he's going to have to heal things, okay? But not just for us inside these walls. There is a world out there where things are happening, and God can do things here in us and through us, not just in these four walls, right? Come on. Come on. Come on. This society, if you haven't noticed, is kind of on a decline as far as its opinion of Christianity, I'll just say, right? It's going to become a shock, right? It's going to become ever more apparent for us to be sound in doctrine, right? It's going to be more and more important for us to really know the scripture, right? We're going to be intentional about getting to know the scripture even more, what it says, what it means for our lives, right? How we're supposed to minister in love to people, how we're supposed to stand firm on things that are eternal, right? But it's going to be practical. We are going to continue to seek practical expressions of sound doctrine because it's going to become more and more muddy out there in the waters that we're all wading through in society, okay? God is intent on those things. We're going to be his representatives in time and space, but we're not going to be ugly. We're not going to be ugly. We're going to come in grace and truth because that's how Jesus comes, right? He is our model. We are going to continue the spirit of service that we have in this household. I remember going through prophetic ministry training with Rhonda Harris years and years ago. And one of the things that Rhonda taught all of us about is the posture of the towel and the basin. This is fundamental to prophetic ministry. I believe it's fundamental to all ministry. If you can't come in a posture of the towel and the basin, that's where Jesus gets down and washes his disciples' feet. The King of the universe, putting himself in the place of the lowliest slave to those that are following him to wash their feet. That is the posture that we have in ministry. We're not here to lord anything over anyone. We're here to serve because our King serves just the same way, right? We are going to be in a mode of service in ministry. I keep using this word ministry, and I want to kind of break us out of whatever paradigm we have for what ministry is. Me up here preaching, this is ministry, right? It's not the only ministry. We have these words in our language, I am a minister, right? So ministry gets associated with me, but that is not the only place that ministry happens. It's not just pastoral staff. It's not just church staff. It's not just people up here leading worship on a Sunday morning. And it's not just us up here at the altar praying for people. Ministry happens wherever you are and you're serving God, right? In whatever capacity you've been designed to serve. And when you're doing those things, you come with a towel and the basin because you're serving people who may not even know the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether they know him or they don't. You're there representing him with the towel and the basin, washing people's feet. We're going to encourage you to serve somewhere. And when I say somewhere, I don't mean just at our Father's house. Okay? Don't keep your mind inside these walls. I got to serve somewhere. Well, that means I can serve on hospitality. I might be good as a greeter. I don't know. I don't know if I want to talk to all those people all the time. I might be good at that, though. Maybe I can help out with the youth ministry. I don't know. Youth kind of scare me sometimes. I was a youth. They kind of scare me sometimes. Maybe I'll help out in the children's. Okay. We get just stuck in our thinking that it's got to be here, right? There's a great big world out there. We have a community around us that needs Jesus, right? So serve somewhere. What are your gifts and talents? If you don't know them yet, we're going to help you find them because it's important to us, because it's important to Jesus that you develop those things and you serve somewhere. And beyond this, when you're looking for what it is that you could do to serve, know this, it might not exist yet. Think about that. It might not yet exist. God puts dreams in your heart that don't exist anywhere except between your two ears and with him, right? It doesn't exist anywhere yet. But he wants to bring those things into reality. We've actually had some of those things happen around here. There's some ministries out in town that some of you know about that started in this place. Or there have been those of you here who have helped start these ministries. Anybody heard of Hope? Hope started with us, right? CareNet, we helped stand that thing up, and we've been supporting that for years. King's Christian Academy, those are things that we have helped build and stand up, and there's lots of other things. Now, that's been part of our history. Moving forward, we get to be intentional about recognizing that God births ministries here. So he's put something in your heart. It's important to us that that thing comes into reality. Okay, so God is going to be birthing ministries from this place, right? I'm excited about that because I don't know what you all got going on there, but God's got something he's going to do. Okay, All this is great, right? Nothing that I've said to you is really, I think, surprising as far as, oh, we're turning this way, we're turning that way. We're going deeper, pressing into what the Lord has done with us. It's that whole further up and further in mentality. God has got a trajectory he's been launching us on for the past several decades that we're going to continue on because there's new heights for us to reach. There's new things he wants us to do. Foundational to all of this is relationship. Relationship with God and relationships with one another. Because none of you are an island unto yourself. We're all connected anyway. So we should be intentional about those connections, right? Who here has ever been involved in a small group? Raise your hand. How many of you actually found incredible growth happen in your life in the midst of a small group? Raise your hand. The relationships that you experience in a small group are unlike anything you're going to experience anywhere else. If you've not been involved in it. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. When you have people who care about you that you're meeting with regularly, that your kids are getting snotty noses together with, and you know, you're sharing potlucks, and you've been at each other's houses long enough where you know where that little spoon is that you need to get the other thing out, you know. You come over, you kick off your shoes, you sit down on the couch, you pull on your favorite blanket that you always use when you stay at this person's house, you know. That's the type of stuff that happens in small groups. And in the midst of those atmospheres, you get challenged. You're able to ask real questions, get real answers, have people who actually care about you praying for you. You get to pray for others. You're experiencing growth in ministry in a spiritual atmosphere, in a community of faith. This is wonderful, all of us together here on a Sunday morning. And we're all going to, with good intentions, give each other excellent pleasantries on our way out of here today, right? And we really do care about one another. Some of us have very deep, strong relationships with one another. But again, it's in an ad hoc way. Small groups give you a place that you have regular accountability, you have regular relationship, you have regular things that you're doing together, and there's a life that happens in that thing. We're going to be re-engaging small groups in this church, and that's actually going to be foundational to everything that takes place in the future. Because if we are expect to see any amount of real growth in our lives in an intentional way, we need to be building relationships and living in community with one another. This is not intense community right here. Small groups are intense community. You get cultures that form inside these things. They're beautiful. And the small groups that we're going to be having, it's not going to just be about getting together and meeting and let's work on us. We're actually going to be designing this so as small groups, you're going to have to ask yourselves the question, what are we doing as a small group to impact our community? Each one of you is going to have some sort of purpose that goes beyond just getting together and meeting and growing. It's all good. But what are we doing to impact our community? There's a new missional mindset that we're going to be inculcating in us, being intentional about going out and actually impacting the community. I'm excited about this because we've got a great history of doing a lot of stuff here. We also have a great history of doing some things out there. But I'm talking about us breaking out of the four walls, right? And saying, whoa, there's a big world out here. Whew, I can breathe. This is great. Hey, look at all these people out here that don't know Jesus. Or maybe they do know Jesus. And we get to have fellowship together. Breaking out of the four walls of the church and carrying what God has given you is that's something that's going to be happening in this generation. And here's a really good indicator of it. How many of you here last week when we did the Encounter Sunday? Raise your hands. Do you remember Darius's testimony that he gave? If you weren't here, Darius gave this amazing testimony about how he prayed for a friend that he kind of just haphazardly walked into her office seeking some SME help, right? And she helped him. And then afterwards, how you doing? Oh, she just dumped, right? my back's going crazy. I'm having to have a bone density scan, all this stuff. I'm going to have surgery, all this stuff. He says, well, can I pray for you? Well, sure. So he prays for her. He didn't lay hands on her. He says, I'm just going to stand here and pray for you. And so he does. Now, she calls him up several days later to say, you're not going to believe what happened. Are you sitting? I'm driving. You should pull over then. Right? And she tells him about, and she has a medical background. She's seen her x-rays of her back, and the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with your back. Right? Amen. Amen. Here's what's great about that. That didn't happen here. That did not happen right here, or there, or there, or there, or there, or there, or there. It happened in our church because Darius is part of our household, right? He's part of our family. He's part of the body of Christ. The church came and met that person there, right? And the power of God changed her life. And there's evidence of it. Her doctors are like, we have no idea what happened here. This should not be this way, and it is. And that happened by somebody who's not got a long history in praying for healing for people. He said, wow, Jesus has been using me in healing. She's hurting. I'm going to pray for her. And he expected things to happen, and something did. I'm just going to tell you, this is an indicator of something new among us. We've seen incredible things happen here. But to have a new generation that has a heart for those that are out there and experiencing God in powerful ways, in community, it's like, to me, it's first fruits of what God's going to be doing. Okay? Amen. Amen. So, what you'll be hearing this year is an emphasis in how we're going to start building towards small groups, okay? We're focusing on that this year. We're having to break ground on a lot of this stuff. Now, for those of you that have been around a long time, you know that small groups was something that just was part of what the church did before. And we've migrated out of that for numerous reasons, but what we're recognizing is we need that back, right? You all experienced incredible growth in that. You know how important it is. We want that back because God wants to keep doing stuff. So this isn't new for us. This is actually God's reemerging something that's part of our DNA. Okay? So you're going to be hearing an emphasis in that. We're focusing on it because it's so foundational to everything else that's happening. We need that structure to be built up. So I'm encouraging you right now, start thinking about, Lord, who is it that I'm already connecting with? Where are my relationships? If I've got something that needs to change in me so that I'm going to be able to get into a small group or whatnot, or I'm afraid of it or whatnot, take the time to lay those things before the Lord, because by the end of this year, we're going to have lots of small groups around here. And there's going to be some really great stuff that's happening. You're going to be deepening your relationships with one another, and God is going to start to change you in a new way because of the community that you're living in. All right? It's going to be awesome. And it's foundational to everything else we're doing, so we're starting there. Okay. We are the church. We're the ecclesia. Right? It's not this building. It's you. Each one of you. When you come to Christ, you're part of the body of the Christ. If you have not yet come to Christ, you get to be part of the body of Christ when you come to Him. And there's instant community, there's instant family, and the power of God moves through you in ways that you can never experience on your own or understand on your own without the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving through you. We have a trajectory that we're going on as a church, and it's going to honor where we've been. And it's going to be an outgrowth from that. I'm excited about where the Lord's taking us, because the world is changing, and He's going to change us to meet that and be different in that place. He's going to use us to impact lives. People are going to come to Him. They're going to find their purpose in Him. They're going to grow up in Him. And they're going to be mature representatives of who He is this world is getting darker, but the light is going to shine brighter. Okay? We're going to be turning up that rheostat. Okay? Intentionality. Intentionality about our relationships with each other and with the Lord. Experiencing, here it is, experience, connect, impact. Have you seen that anywhere around here? Experience, connect, impact. Because we're going to put the Father on display. It's what we've been called to do. We're going to give Him glory for everything. If you'll stand, I'd like to pray over us. I got a word this morning from one of our prophetic people that was talking about experiences that people have had where they look back across their lives and they wonder where the Lord was in the midst of a foggy situation. It's funny that fog came up in this picture and the Lord had been talking to me about fog, which I shared with you. Those foggy situations where you didn't know where He was. You didn't know where you're going. You felt all alone. And His promise to you in the midst of all of that was, I was with you whether you knew I was there or not. Somebody needs to hear that today. God has been with you always throughout your life. Even before you knew Him, He was walking with you. He loved you before you loved Him. And even after you loved Him, when you couldn't see where He was with you. He's going to be with us as we move into the future too. Our past, our present, and our future is found in Him. If you're resonating with that word, after we're done here today, we'd like to pray with you up front here. I'm going to bless you right now. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for all that You have done in this house for so many years, Lord. We thank You for how You've grown and matured Your people. We thank You, Lord, that You have a plan and a purpose and a calling for all of us here. And for as a church, Lord, You have greater things for us, Lord. Father, we come before You today and we just submit ourselves to You and say we are going to be intentional about pursuing You, Lord. We're going to be intentional about the things that You've sown in here. We're going to cultivate those things, Lord, so that they bring glory to You, Father. Lord, I ask that You would bless each one of these families. Lord, in this time where many of us are grieving, I ask that You, Holy Spirit, would come and bring comfort to our hearts. Bring comfort to these families, Lord, that have lost loved ones, these friends that have lost dear friends, Lord. Lord, friends that are like family. I ask that You would just heal our broken hearts. And Lord, also, I pray for Charlie Hernandez, Lord Jesus, and I thank You for all that You've been doing to bring healing to her little body, Lord. We just thank You for the testimony of Your goodness to her, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that she would continue to be strengthened by Your Holy Spirit, that You'd continue to bring healing to her, Lord Jesus. We thank You for her smile, Lord Jesus. We thank You for all the progressions that have been made, Lord Jesus. And we bless her. We bless her family, Lord Jesus, her mom and dad. Lord, for the emotional pain that they have suffered in the midst of this, Lord Jesus, I ask that You, Holy Spirit, would come and bless them. Lord, to their grandparents, Lord Jesus, I just thank You for faithfulness. And Lord, I speak peace over this entire situation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, thank you for coming this morning. And I hope you're as excited as I am about what God's going to be doing through us. It's going to be incredible. All right? Yes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's pray right now. We just got a message from Alexia that Charlie's heart is functioning at 20% right now. Is Al here? Okay. We're going to pray for that thing to be functioning at 100% right now. Lord Jesus, we just come before you right now, and we thank you, God, that you are the healer. Lord, her heart is in the midst of your hands right now, and Lord Jesus, I just command that thing to begin to function at 100%. Lord, bring all the levels up, Lord, all the levels up. We thank you, Lord Jesus, 100% function in that heart, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just speak to the tissues, to the nerves, to where there's scarring now, Lord Jesus. I just ask for all that to be smoothed over and everything to work as it's supposed to function. Any timing that needs to take place, Lord, set the timing in order. Any chemical levels that need to be put into balance, we just speak perfect balance to them right now in Jesus' name. And we speak your healing grace into Charlie right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lift her heart in Jesus' name, 100%. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. 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 Well, be blessed and have a wonderful week. God bless you.